Hello, it sounds like the 1950s and the Archers are here again with their tractors and all kinds of ploughing implements. And I'm here to tell you all about what's going on at the moment. Oh, sorry. It's a tale of everyday country folk. First started in the BBC Midland Network in about 1952 or something. Anyway, that's enough. Let me fade away the Archers and stop doing that pathetic voice. Right. I'm not very well. Oh. I nearly did a bow about not being well. I've had a cold and a cough and my voice has gone really, really deep. So I'm a bit ill. I'm just sort of like dizzy and all sorts, but I just thought...
This is why I'm over the other side of the room.
Yeah, Claire's like miles away. So that's the Archers. Now, if anyone doesn't know, let's do a little few things first. The Archers... before that, let's quickly do... Because Rambly Boo... Let's do Rambly Boo, September 2016. Day 5, I guess. Comments. Gwentleyan commented on our Coffee Boo, saying that she wishes that she had a coffee machine and a frother and all that, and she's got a small kitchen. But you don't need a big kitchen. You just need a small coffee maker.
You do need a big kitchen if you've got loads of stuff.
If you've got loads of stuff.
Everybody has, like... Oh, I'd love a food processor and a juicer and a, you know, this and one of them. And my kitchen's already too small for most of the stuff I've got.
Yeah. And then, oh, sorry, I'm making a bit of a pathetic. Oh, that's terrible, that noise. Sorry, everyone. But you can't do... It's horrible. It's the microphone on here. It's not very good. I've stopped. Thanks for that. And she likes carbonara, but can't bother to make it.
Yeah.
You could do a carbonara thing. Done before?
Carbonara? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I could do the quick one.
Okay. We might do that then as a Rambly Boo. And then Sal, Purple Cakes 3, she said that she thought our X Factor Boo was funny. Yeah, it was.
No, we're talented, didn't you know?
We were very serious. It was real.
I'm hurt and offended that you found that
new. we're trying our best.
I'm hot and horrible.
You own the stage.
So anyway.
Archers is the longest running soap in the world. It's the longest running soap in the world. And it's covered all...
It wasn't considered a soap.
Yeah.
I thought it was a radio drama. There's a difference.
No.
It is.
All right then. Longest running radio drama in the world then.
Specify it as a soap.
Wiki it and see what it says.
It is
while we're talking. Anyway, it's all been very tame. They've covered some big stories like sabotaging of genetically modified crops and abortion and other things, big things. You know, things to do with the common market and because it's all about. I suppose the idea of it originally, I think, was it sort of came off some kind of need to, you know. It's like educate the farmers. So, you know, you'd often get scripts like, and you still do, and you'd have something like, this pie is nice, isn't it, Brian? Oh, yes, steak and kidney, but I'm not sure how much time you'll be getting local beef now because of the higher than normal grass seed yields experienced in France, which means the price of beef has been pushed down in England, and no thanks to the common market meat mountain. Oh, yes, but... that doesn't stop me, enjoying my pie, does it, Bill? You know, that kind of rubbish. And it was just, you know, trying to squeeze these farmer scripts in about farms into what was supposed to be in sort of everyday life.
We don't want to bore people senseless.
No, we're not boring people senseless. There's a context. And I think they're doing this, but to a greater level now. So not about the farming, but just, you know, it's almost like the Archers has got to try and run these massive long stories because there's a guy that used to be the producer for EastEnders, which is a BBC TV soap that is very dark a lot of the time and stuff. And he's come to work for the Archers, hadn't he, a few years ago?
His name's Sean O'Connor.
Sean O'Connor.
Used to work for EastEnders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, am I interjecting?
No, I am. I'm a drumbeat.
I think on a more serious level,
we have been serious.
One of the things that is currently ongoing this week is the trial of Helen Titchener. And Helen Titchener stabbed her husband, Rob Titchener. Unfortunately, not to death, but she stabbed him, and now she's on trial for attempted murder. And I think the one thing that can be said is that it's possibly one of the most unrealistic domestic and domestic abuse storylines ever.
It's almost an insult to people who've been domestic.
This is my problem. The reason I have a problem with it is because the idea is that he comes up with these things at the end that says, if you have been affected by today's subjects covered in today's storyline, please read this.
By some posh upper class man who's a continuity announcer.
And they allegedly did this. If they allegedly did this in conjunction with Women's Aid and the abuse charities. Yes, but I think the problem is that they seek advice from these charities.
And then go off.
And then they can say, oh, we did it in conjunction with their advice. And then they do their own thing, which completely discredits the organisations.
Well, that's what they do. They've done like the Coronation Street and other sort of soaps and stuff.
Yeah. So what then happens is that they kind of take this storyline and they wanted to build it up as coercive control, which is basically where a man or one partner essentially uses one partner uses control, emotional abuse to control their partner. So he essentially made Helen believe that she was mentally ill because she was pregnant. And and he made her believe that she was forgetting things, and they call it gaslighting, where you basically make somebody think, you may move something, and you go, oh, no, darling, I know that you put it there, but it's not there. Oh, you must have moved it, you must have forgotten it. Go and have
sit down,
Yeah. And it's not always...
I actually sound like Rob Titchener.
It's a bit bloody scary. It's not
sit down, darling. It's not always... Darling, please, darling.
Oh, do piss off.
I'm only trying to help you.
But anyway, so there's this whole notion of gaslighting, making somebody believe something that isn't true.
But then he did start physically abusing her. I mean,
he slapped her.
Twice. Well, and worse than that.
And he raped her.
And no, forcibly impregnated her.
Well, he raped her and she got pregnant. I mean, you can't forcibly impregnate somebody.
Well, he raped her at least twice.
Yeah. Once while she was already, when she was already pregnant, and the other time not. I mean, the fact is you can't force nature, so it was by chance that she got pregnant on the night you raped her. But yes,
well, I think you probably knew like what her cycles were doing and things like that, perhaps. So you could,
well, I suppose you raped her in the hope that she would fall pregnant.
But the defence is bringing that up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, we don't know actually, but because it's been very kind of
vague.
Oh no,
you're right. No, of course.
But the key here is that two women a week are killed by their partners. And there is an element of men, before people go, oh, but men are victims too,
Mankind.
There are men who are, but the numbers are much, much, much lower
of women who are. Mankind.
Yeah.
If you've been affected by our conversation.
Mankind, that's that dodgy gadget shop in, where is it?
It's Mankind.
But seriously, two women a week are killed by their partners.
Serious.
And the key here is what they've done is they built this up to this whole storyline. And then she stabs him in the heat of some argument, which isn't realistic.
Well, it isn't because that isn't her character. I mean, she's not that volatile.
But it's not only that. It's that women that lash out usually have gone through years of abuse, physical, and he slapped her the once and he raped her twice, and he was a fairly nasty piece of work. But on the whole, it's not a realistic portrayal. And now,
well, it's almost as if they were getting criticised for it being too slow, which has been a very, very slow burn. It's almost like they've tried to do it in real time.
But you can't.
Which you can't. And then everyone's thinking, oh, this is pathetic, this story. And then suddenly it's like, oh, we better do something. And I think, actually, I mean, everyone's, go Helen, and all this hashtag, go Helen, or she's been Helened and all this, or he's been Helened, meaning, not Helen, sorry, Kirsted. She's been Kirsted, or he's been Kirsted, as in it's going to be this new phrase to say that someone's been told what they think of them and all. It's just pathetic. The script's quite dodgy, I'd say.
I think it's incredibly, and at the end of the day, she's... The problem here is it's not about guilty or not guilty. She did stab him. So she's going to have to be accountable for that. And it's just a case of whether or not it's wounding with intent or attempted murder.
She can't get off with it.
It's not going to be Rob's going to go down and Helen's going to walk free. The fact is she did stab him, unless something comes out of the woodwork that suddenly shows that Tom ran in from behind and stabbed him to death, and then ran out again, or that Henry grabbed the knife and plunged it into his lungs or whatever he did with it. It's just not going to come out that way. So the fact of it is, she did stab him. She is going to have to go down for it. The women don't generally walk free from these these types of crimes, or they sometimes do, but it depends on what they've actually been through. And it's just a case now of what happens to Rob, really, because at the moment he's filing for residency of the children. Henry isn't his.
Even his.
But she's given him parental responsibility. And that does actually highlight, that how easy it is to, you can give somebody parental responsibility for your child, and how easy it is to do that, and how difficult it is then to remove it.
Yeah.
Because there's been lots of...
But there's financial abuse as well, isn't there? I don't even know if that's fully known. But given this story was so long in the making, they've never given you the impression that this barrister, Helen's, this Anna Tregoran, has really, like, there's no sense that she's, okay, let's have a look at your accounts, and let's have a look at... We've had to assume a lot of this, you know. And Helen hasn't been talking for so, so long, and she hasn't managed to tell her about the rape stuff and whatever. And I don't know. It's all a bit pathetic, really.
Yeah.
And then there's that end bit where Kirsty's having a go at the and
then everybody claps.
No, but Rob in the previous one, Rob was allowed
to sob his heart out,
and it was almost like, let's not have court, let's just have this being thing where we just let someone sob.
The Rob show.
The sob Rob show, Rob sob show, and then when Kirsty tries to have her say, she gets threatened with contempt of court. So it's already implying that the judge is making up his mind if he's being prejudicial towards the prosecution.
I think as well, one of the problems is that, and a lot of people have said, that the character of Helen isn't very likable anyway as a character.
Yeah.
Lots of people have said that it's very hard to empathise with her because she wasn't very likable from the outset.
No, she was a bit, oity-toity. Mm. I mean, the only history she's had, I mean, she her previous... Was it husband, partner? I don't know. Committed suicide. I can't remember what
Greg,
happened.
Wasn't it?
Greg, the... Not, he wasn't a poacher. He was a gamekeeper.
And then she had a child by a sperm donor.
Sperm donor-y thing. Yeah.
And now she's had another baby.
Which is Henry.
Called Jack. But Rob's insisting his name is Gideon.
Yeah.
But he's not actually seen him yet, has he? But he's gone to court to try and gain residency of...
And she's a nurse, isn't she? That Ursula. Robert, I'm only trying to help. I know, Mother, I know, but...
But then the fact of it is that they've probably all... He's probably grown up in that kind of situation as well, you know?
And then there's the dad, Bruce. What's he?
There's a brother, though. I wonder if the brother's... Because they talk about the brother. I wonder if Miles. The brother's going to emerge from as a defence witness.
I think it's Archer's patheticness. I think we're going to be disappointed. I think that there'll be some kind of conviction of Helen with no guilt on Robert's part, and then there'll be an appeal. And then it'll just go out, drag for another 2 years.
No, I don't think they can do that. No, because he's leaving now, isn't he? He's going back to EastEnders.
Who? Rob O'Connor. Oh. No, yeah, but, you know, someone else can pick it up. Maybe. I don't know who they're going to bring instead.
Don't know.
I did a work placement with the Archers when I was went back to college after being a piano tuner.
Mm. Yeah.
I did 1 week, one session with the script writers, one day in the office doing research, and I had to phone up. If anyone remembers when they did an adventure playground, in fact, you never hear that mentioned them. You know, you forget this continuity stuff. Anyway, it was for Dan Archer, who died, a commemorative one or whatever, memorial. And I had to do some research on that. And then I did two days in the recording studio. And it was wicked. But it was around the time when Kate and... what's his name? Roy. Kate and Roy. Kate Aldridge and Roy Tucker were together.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and all this other, there is all the other everyday village folk bit, like there's Linda Snell walking around with ashes to Scruff, who's died, the dog.
God.
Yeah, but he went missing for 3 months or whatever because of the floods.
They even found a dog. See, maybe Stefan's going to come back, you see, because Rob killed him, didn't he? Or did something
ooh,
with him.
Ooh. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
In the floods, something happened with Stefan, didn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, and the thought is that Rob may have killed him.
Ooh.
So maybe he's going to come back.
Oh.
Doo, doo, doo. And on Sunday, it's an hour-long episode. No, maybe he didn't die. He drowned him in the
but
thing.
How did he drown? I don't remember the exact. Oh, we need to. Anyone in the Archers fan know what happened there? Because that's a good point. And Rob Gibson's a homophobe as well, isn't he? There's got to be a lot of stuff got to come out,
yeah.
You hope.
Yeah.
But it's whether the script writers have got enough balls.
The problem is that 15-minute episodes aren't enough to portray courtroom drama.
No, that's why you have an hour to do it instead, yeah. I guess. But it'll all be revealed. I need to play the Archers theme again. Hang on a minute, I've got to find it now. Oh, there you go. Here we go. So that's the Archers then. You got anything else to say?
No.
So we'll speak to you all tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be well. We'll be well.